say good morning?
Morning.
Good morning. Morning.
Yeah,
eat it. Morning.
Good morning, everyone. Did you know what a privilege it is for us to all be here? I mean, a privilege. As we were standing around praying this morning, I kept sensing deep inside these words, a magnetic pull. And I got to thinking about how the North Pole and South Pole supposedly work magnetically. But I believe the Spirit of God is the same way. It's a magnetic pull for us as believers. And even for those that are not believers, that they can be drawn by the Holy Spirit. Unless they are drawn by the Holy Spirit, they won't know God or see God. And then I said, Lord, draw people here. Let it be that they... And then I heard the words, anywhere that they will find you. Anywhere. It doesn't have to be here. It can be anywhere. We just spent a week with family at the beach, and seeing the majestic scenery the Lord has made with the ocean coming in and out, and all the things that He's done there. How can people see something that beautiful and not believe in a God that made it? It's just beyond me. So today, as we worship the Lord, I'm praying that our hearts are drawn, that His deep pulls at our deep, that His Spirit pulls us to Him, that He would be honored by our worship and our praise and our adoration and our wanting to be with Him, that He would be somehow blessed to see His kids just loving on Him. So this morning, Jesus, we give it all to You. We just surrender our hearts, surrender our spirits to You, Jesus. Let there be that magnetic pull between our spirit and Your spirit, Jesus. Let there be a deep that cries out to our deep. Let us only be satisfied, and that You would only be satisfied when we are connected to You. Bless Your people today, God. Father, let our worship be pleasing to You, not to us. Pleasing to You, however that looks. Father, all over the city, all over the country, all over the world, draw Your people to Yourself. In Jesus' name.
out the heavenly language. Just begin to pray out in that heavenly language. Just begin to speak how worthy he is. Just begin to speak out how worthy he is of it all. He gave his all so that we can have it all. Our freedoms that we get to express his name right now is such a privilege. Thank you, Father. God, I just pray over our government right now. Lord, that you would just have their hearts. Jesus, that you would captivate them. Oh, that their agenda would be your agenda, Jesus. Jesus, that our nation would just begin to awaken in who you are. And that our spirits would rise up and pour you out in such a big way, God. That we would be awakened to you and all you gave, God. Jesus, yes, and that you would just bring wisdom, that it would just rain down on those in leadership of this nation, God, and the nations around us, Lord, that this unified front, Father, would be a kingdom front, in Jesus' name, and that our little city of Yakima, God, would just catch fire for you in such a big, bad way, and that your people here, Jesus, would just begin to respond to the things that you're doing in the spirit, God, and that miracles would break out. Yeah. And that people would be healed. Yes. And that minds would be set right, Jesus. There'd be no more chaos. Yeah. This would be a place of peace and a place of glory, Father, that people would come from far and wide just to feel what's different here, Jesus, and to take of it, to be able to give out where they're from, Lord. Yeah, that your spirit would just be released upon our land, God. Just pray for your peace over those people in Afghanistan, God. They too, God, would see to see your face. God, that they would be able to hold fast to you no matter what, God, that they would know how good you are. And Jesus, that our nation would break for them, that it wouldn't be a distant problem, but that it would be our problem too, God. And that we'd no longer stand for it, Jesus. I thank you, God, for who you are, despite our messes. Jesus, that you still call us by name, and you still have adoration for us as your children. I just pray, God, that you would just continue to make yourself known. Every time another person tries to write you out, God, that you would come back bigger and better and stronger and more loving and more peace-filled than ever, Jesus. I'm so thankful, God, for who you are and for your sacrifice, Jesus. And I thank you for today, Lord. And I just pray, God, that you... that your words would be spoken today, and that our hearts would be filled, that our beings would be filled, and that our minds would be transformed and renewed, that we would leave here feeling abundant. God, that when we leave this place, we'd begin to just leak you out, and that people as we're walking by would just be stopped and have to know, what is it? What's in you? Why do I feel different when I just passed by you? Jesus, that they would, we'd be so full of you that people couldn't help but be changed when they walk by, God, when they breathe the air that we're breathing. Ooh. I love you, Jesus. I love who you are. I love today. Thank you for this day. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Welcome. Have a seat. I know. God is so good, guys. I could stay there for hours. I could just do that for hours and hours. I don't know about you, but I feel him so heavy. And his heart is so heavy for us in such a good way. It's so good to see you. So those of you that I can see. today is such a good day, you guys. I'm so thankful for it. Welcome to One Life Family Worship. And I guess we're going to move into telling you more about what you have to look forward to through the week, right? Starting with youth nights, in Jesus' name, yeah. And we don't have very many of our youth here, but the ones that are, can I get a whoop whoop? Ooh, that was a little, come on. Can I get a whoop whoop? That's better. Yeah, you are. You're more than welcome to our services anytime. Yeah, so for those of you who have young people, young youth in your lives or spheres of influence, just let them know. We're at 6404 Appleview Way for the time being.
Yeah, and I think real quick, the heart behind the youth ministry is not just to, like, give a place for the youth to be. Like, maybe that is the bare minimum, you know, like, what is youth ministry? Oh, hang out with teenagers, eat pizza, and, you know, play basketball with them or whatever. But we're more interested in actually, like, seeing lives transformed. And so our heart is for the youth of this city so much that even beyond, like, the 10 kids that we get in our youth ministry, I meet with youth pastors, you know, bi-weekly, at least monthly, from our city, just because I want to hear what's going on in your youth ministry. Like, because I want to see, we want to see every teen in the city transformed, whether it's in our youth ministry or the church down the road. Like, it's all about, like, hey, if you have a win in your youth ministry, that's a win for me. Yeah. And so that's ultimately the heart, is that we want to see the youth transformed in our city, and we are very honored that we get to play a part in that, and that these kids, not all of them are represented here or even in the room, but that these kids, you know, allow us to come into their lives. And, yeah, so.
For real. And we're all about double dipping. So even if they have a youth service of their own, come and partake of what Jesus is doing in our home as well and give it back to where their spheres of influence are. So yeah, and then we have every Tuesday, women's Zoom meeting, women's Bible study with Miss Gigi, our Pastor Gaylene. So it's hard to call you by name. I'm sorry, guys. I know her as Gigi, so that's what I tell her. Can you raise your hand just for those who don't know? Our Gigi, on Tuesdays, she brings the word in such a big, bad way, and she makes it so applicable and so easy to just stew on and meditate in, and just brings you a lot closer to Jesus because she spends so much time with them. And then we have Wednesdays is the men's with Pastor Mike. He too brings a big bad word, and he's able to make it applicable and attainable, and allows you to brings more understanding from what I hear. It's a good time. The men laugh. Do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, go men.
Go men. Okay.
Young adults. So this is something that we're starting new, and the first one is this Wednesday. And so this is, you know, I know I said youth, we're not just going to hang out. These young adults, that's literally all we're going to do. We're going to hang out, and that's okay. For now. We have a couple young adults in our church, and we just want to create a space. Our heart is that we see every generation represented in our church.
Yes.
And it's hard when you don't have, if a generation is not represented, mm-hmm. And there's not something for them. And so if you run into a young adult, you know, a young adult, you know, are a young adult, this is our monthly, gathering that we're going to be doing, where we're just hanging out. We're going to play mini golf, the first one. And then we're gonna go from there, and it hopefully God grows that and develops that. And who knows?
Absolutely.
Maybe we have a young adult service in the months to come, and
that'd be
amazing. But yeah. So that's the heart behind that.
Yes. And if any of our golden oldies are into the idea of Bunko, let me know. Okay. I love Bunko. Okay. And I love getting together with women of all ages. Okay, tithes and offerings. We have beautiful boxes here for you tactile people like me who like to write the check and say a prayer as you do. Right there, and in the foyer by the mirror. Is there another one? Those are the two? Okay. And if you're more techie, like this guy, you can follow the onelifefamilyworship.com or olfw.net. Click on the PayPal link, and it'll tell you what to do. That's my understanding. Good luck with that. Anything else?
Give it up for Nancy.
No, let's give it.
Thank you, Ben.
Yeah, okay, and without further ado, Eric, he's the pastor for today.
Great. That was good. She's beautiful and wonderful, and we love her. We need to make sure that we are giving our city to the Lord. Like, it's actually really important that we as a body gets this in our spirit, that this becomes our DNA, that if we actually want to see a revival take place and continue to happen in our city, then it really needs to be our prayer that we're giving, like, Lord, I give you Yakima, right? And as we were praying, Nancy was, you know, she was passionately praying for our government and our city. I just, that thought came to my mind. And I've said it many a times in my own personal time, but I came to my mind right now, like, Lord, I give you this city. And it sounds funny, right? Because it's like, well, this is like the Lord, you know, he doesn't need my permission to move in Yakima, right? But there is something powerful that happens when his children come into alignment with his heart for a geographical location. And we say, I partner with you, Lord, and I take ownership in this land. I take ownership in the Yakima Valley, and I give this to you. You know, same goes for your families, for your houses, for, you know, like if I just believe that when the Lord blesses what we allow him to bless, right? When we give it to him with open hands and we say, here, this is yours. He's able to say, great, I'm going to take that. You are giving me Yakima. I'm going to take that. And I'm going to see something magnificent happen. Amen. So we did some traveling ourselves. Nancy and I and baby Tegan were in San Diego for a few days to celebrate one of our former youth students who graduated. What is it called? Boot camp? Basic for Marines. And I don't know if you guys know this, but Nancy is a menace to TSA everywhere because she, no matter what, gets pulled aside and they empty her bag. I mean, this isn't just like a fluke incident that happens. It happens pretty much every time she flies. And it's ridiculous and funny all in the same time because you think Nancy, right? Like, what is she... You know, she's the least dangerous person we know. But I just thought it's funny that she was a menace and she's holding the baby in the baby carrier. And it's just like, this is the least threatening person that you could pull aside right now. But Tegan did us proud. It was funny because we would get on the plane or we would be in the airport and everywhere we went, everybody loved Tegan. He's so cute. They wanted to squeeze his cheeks and talk to him and everybody's fine with that. The people, the face that you would see when we would walk on the plane though, you just see the daunting of like, oh no, a baby. And the people that we would sit next to, cause you know, you three, they're like, oh no, not, I'm sitting next to a baby, right? But he did really good. And so it was, I think everybody was very surprised by how well he traveled. And this is his first time traveling far distance like that. So we were very grateful for that. So I want to share a message today, though. I was thinking about this before we left down to San Diego, and it hit me even more as we were traveling about what we're listening to. About what we're hearing, what are we allowing to tickle our ears? What are we allowing to lead us in life? And believe it all leads to down to can you hear Him? Can you hear God? Because the issue isn't we all can hear God. Nobody's disqualified from hearing the Lord. Not one of us. You know, young and old, young to old, like we all have the ability to actually hear the Lord. The issue becomes is, are we taking the time to listen to what He's saying? Because we live in the day and age we do, there's so many voices that are speaking into us, right? That there's so many loud things that are coming at us, and we have to make sure that we're tuned in to what He's saying, for one, and for two, that we're actually obeying what He's saying. And I started to think about, like, why is it so hard for people? Why is it so hard for us? I'll throw my name in that as well, because I've had my moments too. But why is it so hard for us to actually listen to the Lord? But other areas we don't even question. Like, we don't even question. Like, we were in the airport. Like, I don't question what TSA tells me to take my shoes off. Great. Take the laptop out of the bag. Great. Don't take the laptop. I wish the TSA would get it together, because one airport, take the laptop out. Another airport, don't worry about it. Nothing comes out of the bag. Like, I'm just like, okay. But we don't even question it, right? Like, take your shoes off, take the laptop out, put everything here, get to the end, put your arms out. Like, you know, let me swab your hands for I don't even know what that is. But, you know, like, we don't even question it, right? We get on the plane and they tell us, you know, this is where you sit. They say, keep your mask on. They say, you know, this is when we're going to give you food. This is what you can bring on the plane. This is what you can't bring on the plane, right? Like, that's not even a question in our minds. Like, we question it, but we listen, right? Like, we want to fly, so we're going to listen, right? A couple of our friends that we met down in San Diego, they actually flew, like, private, and I didn't know all the ins and outs of air traffic control, but it's a whole world in itself. Like, you can't just get in a plane and fly. Like, there's a whole, like, mapping out of what you have to do. And once you're up there, even though you mapped out your trip and you, you know, submitted your paperwork or whatever, like, air traffic control can change it and say, hey, actually what we need to do is you need to go down to this altitude from here on out. And that's not even a question. The pilot is like, okay, like, you know better, so I'm just going to do it. Like, I'm not going to argue with you. You told me what to do. I'm going to do it. And obviously they know, because if there's we're going very fast and we run into another plane, it's not going to be good, you know. And then we see our Ian is a young man that we got to see graduate this week. And in that world, in the military, you know, or any sort of, you know, branch of that nature, like, they don't question the drill sergeant, right? Like, that's a bad idea, right? Like, it's very much, you know, this is what I'm telling you to do, you do it, right? So I say our human nature, like, it's not hard for us to listen, but for some reason we pick and choose what we're going to listen to, what we're going to obey. And God becomes one of those things, unfortunately for us, is we hear the Lord, or we get a sense from Holy Spirit to do, you know, X, Y, and Z. And instead of saying, Lord, I trust you in this, even though it seems crazy, I trust you with my life, even though what you're leading me to seems like something that I'm not comfortable with, we question it. And sometimes we don't move when he says to move. And sometimes we you know, listen to the louder voice over here and say, yeah, but God, you're not seeing what the news is saying. You're not seeing what so-and-so posted on Facebook, and they added an article, and, you know, it was a Wikipedia link, and so many people added to that. And, you know, like, Lord, you don't, like, what about all this? And instead of saying, Lord, let me get your perspective on this and hear what you're saying about it, because I want to be led by you. Because there's a lot of different voices speaking right now. So my question is, are you listening to the correct voice? In John 10:27, I love how it says this in the Amplified. It says, the sheep that are my own hear my voice and listen to me. I know them and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they will never, ever, by any means perish. And no one will ever snatch them out of my hand. I don't know about you guys, but to me, that sounds like somebody that I can put my full trust in, that I can put my full faith in, that I give them eternal life and they will never, ever, by any means perish, and no one will ever snatch them out of my hand. So, Lord, when you call me to something, or when you say, look this direction, or you say, go this direction, I'm actually doing it with a confidence and a faith, knowing that you have my best interest in mind, that you love me, that you're not going to put me in a position that is going to, it may be very uncomfortable. It may be, I may experience some pain along the way, but ultimately the end result is going to be much better than if I just did it my way. So, my first point, what is the correct source to listen to, or question rather, what is the correct source to listen to? Everybody with me say Jesus. Jesus. All right. Sunday school taught us anything. Jesus is always the answer, because he is. All right. So the correct source to listen to is Jesus. I have a friend who, he is the type of person that he just does all types of adventures. Like, he has stories upon stories of just things that he's done. Like, he's like, what he graduated, I think between high school and college, I believe was the timeline. Him and his friend, they flew to Europe, and they bought a bike, took the bike apart, put it in a box, shipped it to Europe, or flew with it to Europe, put the bike together in Europe, and they biked to Europe. Right. And sure, he may have biked. Yeah. And he was young, and they didn't know the language. You know, they had a little bit of money. They had a plan of what they were going to do. But he's that type of person. Well, he does stuff like that. You know, every week he's like, yeah, I'm going fly fishing. I've never been fly fishing, but I want to go. And I'm like, okay, great. Good for you. Awesome. Right. He does stuff like this. And a couple months ago, I think towards the springtime, we were up in or down in Portland, and he was like, "Yeah, tomorrow I'm actually going to Mount Hood, and I'm going to do I'm going to climb the mount, climb like the ice caps in Mount Hood." And he's never done that before, and I'm like, "Awesome, okay, why? I don't know why. I don't get it. That doesn't sound like fun to me, but okay." And oh yeah, it was to see the sunset. Apparently, like a bunch of adventurers go up there and you go and you. Oh, that's the other thing, right? It started at night, right? You got to start like super super late sunrise. That's right. So it was like some crazy amount of time that he had to get there, that was dark. Start climbing to get to this peak to see the sunrise. Awesome sunrises. Go home. And I mean, I don't know. I guess some people, like, the risk reward is different for them. But he gets there, and I say this with all honesty, like, I'm so glad he's okay. Because people die doing this. People that are more experienced die doing this. And we actually were meeting him for lunch the next day after the whole thing. And he comes to the lunch, and he's telling us that he shows up. And the friend that he went with was much more experienced than him, had done this before, knew the ins and outs. Didn't give him, like, a good list of what to bring or what to do. So he just, like, went, and he got the shoes he thought he was supposed to get. He got the ice pick he thought he was supposed to get. He wore the clothes he thought he was supposed to wear. And he gets there and realizes he's not wearing the right shoes. He has only one pick. That's not even the right pick. He's supposed to have two picks. And he's like, okay, whatever. And he goes. And they go up, and he says it's fine going up, a little bit sketchy, fine going up. But then they got to come back down. And they go back down a different way. And the way he describes it is there is like this sheet of ice. It's just like a wall of ice that they have to, there's no like, they're essentially like picking and kicking your feet in and walking down and picking and kicking your feet in and walking down. And it's like, I don't remember how he said 30, 40 feet, something like that. Right. So his friend goes, who knows what he's doing, and he goes down, and then Zach's like, okay, now I have to go down. And he goes down one ice pick, not the right shoes, and people are behind him, and they're, you know, like, dude, why is this dude going so slow? And he legitimately thought he was going to die. Like, he said he made it down. He said that when they got down and he started walking, he just started crying because he was like, I could have died. The saddest thing about that is that I think it was the next week or sometime later that somebody actually died doing the very same thing he did on the same mountain and everything. I say a lot to say, What is the correct source to listen to? Well, Jesus is such a good teacher that when he leads us to something and we may feel ill-prepared, Jesus is such a good teacher that he knows what, when he's leading you to something, he's given you the resources to do that task at hand. And so even though we may get to something like, I've never, like, Lord, I don't know what to do here. I don't have the right skill set, or I don't have the correct faith or the correct Bible verses to get through this or whatever. And Jesus is sitting back saying, no, I've actually given you everything. This is why I led you to this test, because I've given you everything you need to get through this test, to get here. When we were down in Reading, this tattoo I have right here, it's a sword and a shield. And I didn't just get it because, you know, I wanted to be rebellious. It comes from our down in Reading. You know, we've shared the story many times of, you know, the struggles we went through financially and being down there and the Faith Act and all that stuff. And I remember being in worship and just like praying to the Lord, like, I feel so helpless. I feel so ill prepared to be in this situation, Lord. And as I'm praying, I get this vision of me holding a sword and holding a shield. And the Lord saying, I've given you everything you need to get through this. I've given you the word and I've given you your faith. And I was like, that's super spiritual, Lord, but I actually need money. So that's what I'm asking for. And so I go back to my seat and I draw up this this, what I envisioned, which was a way less pretty version of this. And the sword actually is a sword that there's this revivalist named Amy Simple McPherson that was a famous revivalist way back in the day, and she had a house down in LA and was a part of the Azusa revival and all that. And I actually got to see the house that she lived in and did her and while she was during the revival, and there was a stained glass window with this sword in it. And so when I knew I wanted to get that tattoo, I said, I want that sword. So anyways, I say all that to say that we're putting situations sometimes that we think we're ill-prepared, and the Lord said, no, I've given you everything, right? Not like my friend Zach, who was put in a situation where he didn't have the right, you know, and it's just thank God he made it through. But actually, like, no, I, the Lord, have given you everything that you need. So when listening to the correct source, I'm led to the correct, in the correct direction. When listening to the correct source, I'm led in the correct direction. My daughter, Skylie, lost her first tooth through giving a wrong direction. The direction was, Caden, little brother, I want you to take my fist and punch me in the mouth. And he did it. And she lost her first tooth. And so when you're not led with, that's how the story goes, right? Okay. When you're listening to the wrong source, then you're headed down the wrong path, right? So whose direction am I following? Is my source the news? Is my source social media? Is my source other people's opinions? Now, I'm not against being, you know, listening to the news or reading the news. I think it's great and wise for us to know what's going on in the world. I think the danger becomes is when we allow that to be our source and we close off what the Lord is actually saying, because we see, Lord, look what's happening over there. Look what's happening in my city or my state according to the news. And we close off the fact that God is so much bigger than what's happening in Afghanistan. That God is so much bigger, that's what's happening surrounding COVID. That God is so much bigger than what's happening with abortion laws. Like, it is important to see those things and to acknowledge those things and to pray for those things. But the danger is, what happens in the church sometimes, what Christians don't realize is that they'll get so involved in that, and they'll forget that the God they serve is so much bigger. And like Gaylene always reminds us, he's not surprised. It wasn't like March of 2020 hit and God was like, Gabriel, COVID? Did I miss a meeting? Did I miss a meeting where we were sending a plague down to earth with COVID? Called COVID? Because I don't think I did. Right? That's not our God. Now, not to say God caused COVID, but I'm just saying, like, he wasn't surprised by it. And so if we keep that in mind, I think we're in a better place with Jesus when we can continue to be in this space with the Lord and say, I see it. I see the giants, God. I they're scary and I don't know what to do about them. But I know that when I stand next to you, you give me everything I need to get past those giants. You give me everything I need to kill those giants. You give me the sword I need. You give me the faith I need, the strength I need to defeat said giants. John 4:10, let's read this. This is when Jesus talks to the woman at the well. And, you know, this is a story we've heard many a times, and I've referenced it many a times. And it says Jesus answered her, because they were talking about the well, that they were at Jacob's well, and Jesus says, you know, if you knew who you were talking to, then you know, the water I have is living water. You'll never go thirsty again. And Jesus says this in verse 10. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself,
as did also his sons and his livestock. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Jesus is essentially saying is like, if you could see the source that I'm telling you to get water from, you wouldn't question what I'm saying. If you allow me to be the source of where you dip your bucket and where you drink from, then you would never get thirsty again. You're always going to be thirsty pulling from the other sources. What source are you listening to? You're always going to be thirsty if your only source, the only faith you get in humanity is, well, let me see what's happening on social media, or let me see what's happening in the news, or let me see what's happening in so-and-so's opinion. There's great opinions out there, but the only one that's going to give you living water, the only source that's going to give you sustenance that's going to get you through life and keep your thirst quenched is the living water of the Lord. And in verse 14 in the Passion, I love how it says it. But if anyone drinks the living water I give them, they will never be thirsty again. For when you drink the water I give you, it becomes a gushing fountain of the Holy Spirit, flooding you with endless life. A gushing fountain of the Holy Spirit, flooding you with endless life. Jesus is the correct source to drink from. All other sources will leave you thirsty again. Don't be fooled by pretty packaging. Don't be fooled by, this looks so good though, like how can this be wrong? Because oftentimes it is wrong. I remember one time walking into our kitchen, and there was a cup what I thought was water. And I was thirsty, and it's my house, so, you know, I don't have to ask anybody, can I drink this? I just wanted to sip. In that cup was pickle juice. Why? Because of my wife. She drinks pickle juice. Bless her heart. And it was disgusting, okay? I like pickles just like anybody else, but pickle juice is not something I'm a fan of. Do not want to drink pickle juice, okay? Do not be fooled by pretty packaging. I didn't know as I was approaching that cup, because it just looked like a normal cup of a sustenance. It looks like it could have been juice, it could have been water, it could have been coffee. I don't know, but I was like, whatever's in it, I want some of it. And it looked like it was going to give me what I needed, and it was not. And this is how we don't realize that we approach life sometimes, and we think like, I'm going to get what I need from these other sources. And we don't even sometimes realize we're doing it, and we feel so empty and we don't know why. And I'd ask you, well, what's your source? If you're feeling empty, okay, well, where are you getting your water from? Where are you dipping your bucket in? What well are you getting water from? Because unless it's living water, you're going to continue to feel empty. Sure, you may be filled up for a little bit. Your thirst may be quenched for a second, but you're going to keep coming back. So the second question I have is this: what does his voice sound like to you? What does his voice sound like to you? Because Jesus will not speak to us like a grumpy TSA agent. Jesus will not speak to us like a grumpy TSA agent. I don't know why they're often so grumpy, but they are. Or the over-masculine drill sergeant. Like, that's not... Now, that's no disrespect to them. I understand they're in a role where they have to do what they have to do, and that's how we get the Marines and the military and the Army and the men that we do that do a job that I'm currently not willing to do. Okay, but that's not our God. God isn't looking at us and saying, hey, I'm telling you to do this right now, and you better do it, or 50 push-ups. Or I'm telling you to do this right now, or you're not going to be able to fly in this plane. Like, he's actually a voice. If we could actually figure out what he sounds like to us, what is it? What? Because he knows how to speak to us. He knows the voice. He knows the tone that he needs to use. He knows that this is how I need to speak to my children. Stop waiting for God to speak to you audibly. Because when I say speak, maybe I think a lot of times we can think, oh yeah, that what speak means I need to hear him audibly. But I don't want to say a handful. I would say there's a small percentage of people that are actually going to hear the Lord audibly. I would love one day to hear the Lord. I've never heard him audibly. Some of you may have. But I think the Lord, I know the Lord is so much more creative than to only speak audibly. That'd be great if anytime you receive the Lord, you get your ticket to, okay, now you get to hear the Lord audibly. That would make life really easy. If I come to the Lord, right, and I say, God, this is the decision, or this is the stress, or this is the thing I need, and then we just get to, you know, wait for him to audibly speak back to us. That would make life really easy. But he most likely has already spoke to you in a different way. He most likely has already given you a sense. He's most likely already sent somebody, sent a person in your life to give you direction. Because God didn't make it so we would be in life alone. Right? That's why, from the beginning, it was never meant for anybody to be in life alone. That's why people in our life. The thing is that we sometimes don't like the packaging that God puts it in. Right? Because it comes in a package of, you know, your next door neighbor, or, you know, your spouse, or a friend, or a pastor, or it comes in a package that you're like, oh, I don't like the package it's in, even though what they're saying is right. I actually don't like what it looks like coming out. God is confidently silent at times. He's confidently silent because he's like, I already gave you what you need to get through this. So we're going to read this last verse, and this is about Mary. This is when Gabriel talks to Mary about that she's going to have Jesus, and that even though she's a virgin, she's going to give birth to Jesus, Son of the Most High, is how he says it. So Luke 1:34, there's Mary talking to Gabriel. It says, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "Since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was afraid to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Trusting God, listening to him is one thing, but trusting him is a whole nother step. Is a whole nother step that every day we need to exercise, is I trust you in this. Trusting God looks like approaching him with an open hand, and this is what I mean. Because I often can pray, and I'm praying, but I'm praying holding a clenched hand. I'm saying, God, I give you this situation, but I'm doing it like this, right? And I'm saying, you know, and Caden, come here. It's like if I said, like, Caden, I'm giving you this phone. Take it. Right? Like that's how we can sometimes approach the Lord in our prayers. We're like, take this, Lord. And he's like, I'm trying to take it, but you have a death grip on it and you actually need to let it go, opposed to, Lord, I give you this. And he takes it because I'm trusting, like, I actually don't want to give you this. I want to have control over the situation. I want to have control over the outcome. So, but I'm going to give it to you, and hopefully you're going to do something with it that's great. That's what trusting the Lord looks like. Don't hold too tight to what you think is right. And this is me just preaching to myself, because often I have the right answer. I'm a control freak. I'm willing to admit that. I want things to go a certain way. I have it panned out in my head. And so to be able to say, Lord, what are you saying in this situation, and how do you want me to come out on the other side, and what do you need me to let go? What do you want me to let go is a scary thing. And so I'm not standing in front of you saying, yeah, it's just easy, just do it. Because I know it's not easy sometimes. And when we do see what's happening in the world, we do see what's happening in society. Can you go down, babe? Thank you. When you do see what's happening in our world and in our nation and in our state and in our city, and it does get scary, and it's hard to say, Lord, I give this to you. But that's the call. That's the call for us today. That's the mandate I think that we need to walk away with today is, God, I'm giving this to you. Even though it doesn't make sense, even though I have no idea how this is going to end up, even though I'm hearing one thing one day and another thing the next day, and I don't know how, you know, I don't know what it all is going to look like, I'm going to just give it to you. It doesn't mean I'm going to, you know, be not engaged with it. No, I'm going to be engaged with it. But now it means like I've taken my hands off of it, and now it's on you, Lord. I trust you with it. Because I'm listening first and foremost what you say about it. Holy Spirit is our best friend if we allow him to be. If we allow Holy Spirit into our situation, allow him to speak into what, you know, what is your perspective on this, God? Like, how amazing would it be if the church would just stop for a second instead of reacting to society, but actually stop and say, Holy Spirit, what do you say about this? And wait. And let him speak. Maybe not, you know, maybe we wait an hour. Maybe we wait a week. Maybe we wait 6 months. But nonetheless, we're waiting. Oh, what are you going to do in the situation? I don't know. Holy Spirit hasn't spoken. It's amazing to me how many people make decisions in life. How many Christians make decisions in life? And my favorite question to ask if they come to us, come to Nancy or I, and they're asking us, can I get your opinion? And it's amazing to me when you ask them, well, what does God say about that? And they say, oh, I don't know. Believers, I'm like, what's the point of submitting to any of this if we're not submitting it to the Lord? What's the point? So my challenge, church, is that we would listen to the Lord. We would trust him. We would submit all of these worries. We would cast all our burdens on him. Because he cares. You want to sing the song? No. So let's pray. Worship team, do you have another song you guys want to do? Awesome. Let's worship one last time. And as we go throughout this week, as we go throughout, you know, these next few days, let's keep it in mind that the Lord cares about the things that we care about. He cares about the worries, but he wants us to release it to him, to give him our worries, to give him our stress, to give him, you know, our pain as well as our joy. He wants us to give it all to him. So Lord, I thank you that you care. I thank you that you care more about these situations happening in our world, happening in our society, more than I care. Lord, that you it burdens your heart more than it burdens my heart, God. And I just declare right now, Lord, that we would be people that we would begin laying down these things at your feet. We would lay it all down, God, that we would not hold tight to anything, but instead actually approach you with open arms, open hands, saying, God, this is yours. I just release the spirit of trust in this place, Lord, that we would begin to take risks in trust with you, God. Risks in trusting you with our life, trusting you with our health, trusting you with our marriages, our family, our nation, our world, God. That we would take risks in saying, God, this is yours. So we give you that today, Jesus. Yeah, we bless your name in Jesus' name.
Amen. We love to shout your name, O Lord. Well, yeah, we need to realize what we're listening to. And sometimes we have to ask, Holy Spirit, am I listening to the right things? And not just take for granted that we are, because sometimes we think we're listening to the right source, and even the right source from the outside looks like it's right. But when you check the intentions and your motivations and you check the their calling card, you realize other things are going on, that they have ulterior motives. There's guile going on. So we really need to ask Holy Spirit, what is it you want me to hear? And believe it or not, that someone next to you may need to hear, because of their journey, something else at this time. We always think that, well, I've heard, so this must be for every other person in the world. But sometimes God's going to tell you something that's for you, and it's not for every other person. There are things that God tells us in His Word that are for everyone. But when it comes to our own personal life and the way that He leads each and every one of us, we need to have a personal, intimate relationship with Him and follow what He's telling us for our lives. So, Lord, we thank You for this day. I thank You, Lord, for this message. And, Lord, I do want to acknowledge that there's people out there that are having a hard time hearing You in this day. There's a lot of noise. So, Lord, we pray that You would allow Your Word to go into their hearts deeply, so that they can recognize it's You, and that they can recognize what You're saying, and they can respond in faith, Lord, in obedience, God, to what You would have them do. We just thank You, God, for this day. We thank You, Lord, that You're at work in each of our lives. We can be confident that You are the source of everything that we need. As You have said, Lord, You are the way, You are the truth, and You are the life, Lord. So we put our hands, we put our lives, our families' lives, into Your capable hands, Lord. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Want to give you a greeting from the Martinez and the Casillases. They're camping together, and they said, tell everybody hi. So, oh, and Gina and Moses say hi. So there you go. Okay, God bless you all. Have a great day.